I hope it won't bother you that I preach out front, but I preached on ship's decks and 7-ton trucks and hoods of Humvees and things like that most of my ministry years up till now. So I feel comfortable to bring Jesus to you right down front. I believe he always came to the people. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember when I was a young boy, my mom took us to downtown Indianapolis to a department store. Now, that was a real treat because we lived out in the suburbs, and so we didn't get to go downtown very often. But they were having a great sale, and my mom always loved sales. I think most ladies do. And so mom took us all down there, and we were making our way through all the clothes racks and things, and they were circular racks, not so many of the rectangular ones as we have in most of our stores today, but they were circular, and so it was a great place to play hide and seek. So my brother and my two sisters said, well, let's play hide and seek while mom's busy. So we all did that, and I was first to count. So I went into the center of this clothes rack, and I was counting and counting, and they said, count to 100. And so I was counting and counting, and finally I popped out. And much to my surprise and shock, mom and my brother and my two sisters had moved on. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt lost or lost a loved one, but when that happens, there's this sense of panic, especially as a little kid. It's like, where'd you go? Did they move and forget to tell me? And so I was standing in the middle of this aisle. In the meantime, mom had bought some items and things, and I was crying and upset, and an employee happened to notice what was going on, and she came over and she took me by the hand to the manager of the store, and they tried to figure out who I was and where was my mom. Well, mom got all my brother and sisters out to the car, got everything in the car, and then turned around and looked and went, where's Phil? The customary responses from them were, I don't know. He probably stayed in one of the dressing rooms, Mom. I don't know. He's so silly. He just didn't follow along. Well, she gathered them all together again, and they all came into the store, and they all began searching through all the racks, looking for Phil. Finally, they found me, and found me with the store manager, and we returned to the car, and when we got in the car and mom got everybody seated, she turned to me and she says, why did you cause me such anxiety and heartache? Why, it's not like you. Why did you run away? I could have given her a ton of excuses, but the point that was made was, why'd you worry me? Don't we have that sometimes as parents or even as individuals? And so that put in mind for me the idea of two of our scriptures today, the Old Testament lesson from 1 Samuel and the gospel lesson about Jesus in the temple. And it brings to mind the point that there are, in almost every parent and individual, there's this tendency for us to wander away. To wander away from the love of God, to wander away from the blessings that could be ours, to get engaged in everything in life but God. And so, in our first story, we see in 1 Samuel, and we don't really see this very often. You think about it, we have gone from Jesus being born 4 days ago to now it's the fifth day of the 12 days of Christmas, so 5 golden rings get to be given today. And in the midst of that, we see Jesus at 12 years old. Now, Samuel's parents his mother had said, if I can have a child, I will dedicate my first child to the service of the Lord. She did give birth, and so she took Samuel to Eli, one of the priests there in the temple, and she offered for him to be a mentor and a guide to allow Samuel to serve the Lord in the temple. As Eli was doing that, from time to time, Samuel's parents would visit. And when they visited, his mother would make him a new ephod, which is like a robe that they would wear in service, and other clothing, and bring it and give it to him. And then Eli would bless the parents and their children before they would return home. And so in the midst of this, Eli was so preoccupied with his business, that of being a priest, that he was totally oblivious to what was happening with his own children. They weren't following the laws of Moses. They were making false sacrifices. They were doing unethical things behind the scenes. So on the surface, Eli looked as if he really had his act together. Haven't we done that before? Sometimes we find ourselves that we present a certain face and life to the public, but behind the scenes there may be all sorts of stuff going on. Sometimes we're aware of it. Many times we choose possibly to ignore it, but it's still there. And so in the midst of that, Eli really needed to go home and get his house in order. In our second story from the gospel, we see that Jesus was at his first Passover. It was so amazing. They had gone to the temple, they'd come into Jerusalem, and a young man in the Jewish faith becomes a man when he's 12 years old. And so at that point, Jesus was coming for the first time for his first Passover, and they celebrated the festival, and they had a great time. And then, as was the custom, the ladies and the children began to take off and head back. And because there was such a great crowd that was traveling, they were missing, they didn't miss Jesus for about a day's journey. They had traveled 20 to 30 miles or so away from Jerusalem. It was the custom for the ladies to travel ahead to the encampment for overnight stay, and the men would kind of banter and joke and play around a little bit more, and then they would make their way, because they usually could travel a little faster, and they would come to the encampment as well. So Joseph thought that Jesus was with Mary, and Mary thought that Jesus was with Joseph. So nobody was concerned, because they figured they're with one of us. And then they get this day's journey out, and can you only believe what Mary must have been like when she comes to Joseph and the whole crowd in this tone of panic in her voice, and she says, "Jesus, where is Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus?" The whole crowd began to look, and Mary and Joseph took off and headed back to Jerusalem. When they got to Jerusalem, they searched everywhere. They looked through all the racks, all the marketplace, everywhere they could think of. And then all of a sudden it dawned on them, well, maybe Jesus might be in the temple. So they went to the temple, and there, down in the front, they saw Jesus with a whole bunch of Pharisees and teachers and Sadducees all gathered around him, the men of wisdom of the day. And he was talking with them. They sat down and they listened for a while, and then finally they pulled Jesus aside. Now, you can imagine, especially as a mother, right? Mary giving Jesus what for? Right? All of a sudden, Mary says, "Why did you run away? Didn't you know that we were worried? We've been searching for you. We thought when we couldn't find you, we thought you might have been devoured by a beast or that you were lost. Why'd you create all this anxiety for us? Now, the typical preteen response would probably be something along the lines of, "Oh, Mom, don't worry. I don't understand why you're always worrying." But Jesus is not a typical preteen. So he responds in a positive, respectful way. He says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house?" As the years went on, Jesus would find his direction, his purpose, in the gardens that he would pray in, during his times of prayer with God the Father, in the wilderness when he was out for 40 days and 40 nights. Each time he drew closer and closer to God, he also knew more and more what his mission was, what his call was for life. That's true of you and I. We have the tendency to want to wander away, to be oblivious to what's going on with us, and sometimes to decide that we'll just not acknowledge that there's terrible sin in our lives. We'd like to just walk away and walk through life and let somebody take care of it, but not us. But we're called. And this is the most wonderful thing about these two scriptures. They subtly and, but most importantly, call us to the fact that we need a relationship with God the Father. And God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to come and be with us, to walk among us, to heal us, strengthen us, to show us God's love by hanging on a cross for us and bleeding and dying, and then by rising so that we would never again have to worry about our eternal life. We would have hope for all time, no matter how dark the world might seem, no matter what would go. But there are some things we need to do to make that happen. First off, we need to wake up. That probably sounds funny to say that, but we got to wake up. You have to be aware of what is going on in your life and the lives around you. We can't worry any longer about what we look like to other people. We need to be on track with God. That requires prayer and Bible study, fellowshipping, time together, taking an opportunity to talk straight, honest with ourselves and with others, facing ourselves for who we are, but also knowing that by God's grace, who we are is exactly whose we're supposed to be. These two lessons draw us together to know whose we are and where we're going. I love that. As I looked at it, I realized Samuel knew who he was, and he was learning where he was going. Jesus learned over time who he was and where he would be going and what he would be doing. We have to pray, listen, talk to one another, be willing to come and fellowship as we are this morning and each time in worship of our Lord and feeling his peace and presence. When we do that, we know whose we are and where we're going. As we began at just a few days now, 2024 ends and we begin the new year of 2025. It's hard to believe we're a quarter of a century into the 21st century. But as we do that, I hope you will be about the business of getting your house in order, no longer being oblivious to what's going on, no longer worrying about trying to be something that you're not, and being willing to hear what God has to say to you through prayer, meditation, listening, and care. Caring and loving other people. That's what he's called you and I to do. May we do that in 2025 and on in our lives. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you in Christ. Amen.